Well, the theme of this meeting about faith and a school in the supernatural, prayed some about what direction the Lord will have us go in the light of what Pastor Lan has in his heart as the purpose for these meetings. And well, I'll kick off this afternoon talking about faith for the supernatural life. Faith for the supernatural life. And as a text, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read one verse there and take it as our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says there, for we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Heavenly Father, we approach your word humbly and reverently this evening. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Our minds are open. Our spirits receptive. We trust that by your spirit, you will open up your word to our spirits. We won't just be hearers of this word, but we'll be doers of the same. We're open to the moving of your spirit. Whatever direction you want to go, we are open to follow and to flow with you. And we'll give all the praise, honor, glory, and adoration for everything that will be wrought in our midst. To that worthy and majestic name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, that text where we read, the Bible says there, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, don't forget what we're looking at, faith for the supernatural life. Now, there are three simple points I want to make this afternoon. Or this evening, 3 points. First is this, that it is the will of God, our Father, that as His children, we walk in the supernatural as a lifestyle. That's the first point. 3 of them. First, it is the will of God, our Father, that we as His children walk in the supernatural as a lifestyle. Well, the question is this, what's the supernatural? The supernatural is that which is beyond the natural. Now, we know this, that man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a physical body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it talks about 3 dimensions of man's being. Spirit, soul, and body. Now we're told in Genesis 1:26 that God said, let us, talking about the Godhead, make man in our own image and after our own likeness. So if we want to know what image, what likeness man is in, then let's look at the image that God is in. Because man is made in his image and after his likeness. Well, in John 4:24, the Bible says that God is a spirit. Notice, it doesn't say his spirit. You know, sometimes when you say spirit, people have this idea about God being a cloud or some dew somewhere. No, he's a spirit being. He's a personality. Praise God. He sits on the throne. He has eyes. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth. Bible talks about the finger of God. The Bible talks about the hand of God. Moses saw his back parts. So you see, he's a personality. Now, God is a spirit. Now, if God is a spirit, and man is made in the image and after the likeness of God, man also of necessity must be a spirit being. So man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives inside a physical body. So the real man is not that body. I want to tell you something. I really can't see you. Neither can you see me. What you're looking at is the house I live in. What I'm looking at is the house you live in. The real man lives inside that physical body. Now, there's an inward man and there's an outward man. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 1 Peter 3:4, it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So there is an inward man. He's a hidden man. He's hidden to the physical senses. He's a spirit being. Man was made in God's image and after God's likeness. Man's spiritual faculties originally were attuned to the pitch of God's frequency. Man was made on such a level that he could communicate with God. He could fellowship with God intelligently. He could walk with him. But you see, something happened. Adam committed high treason. See, God made all the trees in the Garden of Eden. He put his man Adam there. Told him, you may freely eat of all the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. The day you eat of it, you will die. Now, I have a Cambridge, I have several Bibles. I just seem to have this thing for Bibles. I just bought this like 2 days ago. I just like Bibles. Well, Cambridge Reference Edition, it says in the margin that in dying, you will die. Talking about the fact that he wasn't just going to die physically. He actually died spiritually. His spirit became separated from God, alienated from God. What's spiritual death? Any kind of death is not a cessation of existence. It's a separation. Spiritual death, that's the parent of all deaths. When a man becomes separated from God. Remember, God came in the cool of the day as he used to come. He said, Adam, where art thou? And the Bible says Adam hid himself. Why? He was afraid. God asked him, have you eaten of the fruit I told you not to eat of? You know, when God asks you certain questions, he's not asking for information. He's asking to help you. Well, and Adam said, it's the woman you gave me. The woman said, it's the serpent. You know, that blame game stuff. You know? So you see, shame came. Guilt came. A complex came. An inferiority complex came. He became cut away from the source of all life. Now, Adam was so full of life that even after he had died spiritually, it took his body 930 years to go to the grave. Amen. Originally, Adam was the God of this world. He ruled, he reigned, he dominated everything that had life. You see, man's intellect was of such a caliber that he could name everything God had made. And whatever name Adam gave to those things, that was the name even God called them by. Amen. So you see, he was in God's class. In one sense of the word, he was the God of this world. Under God, of course. In Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. And thou hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Now the word angels there in the Hebrew happens to be the same word Elohim. And that's the word that was used for God in the first 5 chapters of the Bible. So really, it was saying thou hast made him a little lower than God. The marginal rendering says thou hast made him but a shade lower than God. God made man as much like himself as he could make a being. Man was so close to God in his creation that it was possible for God and man to be in union in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, if God could do that with man, man certainly was pretty close to God in his creation. He was the crown of God's creation. Now, why was the whole universe made? It was made because of the earth. Why was the earth made? It was made because of man. Why was man made? Because of the father heart of God. He craved a family. He wanted fellowship. He wanted people he could fellowship with on terms of equality. He wanted sons and daughters. So he made his man Adam, put him there. And Adam did the unthinkable. Remember in Romans 6:16, The Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. So Adam obeyed the devil. As a result of doing that, he became a subject of the devil. Now, the story is told, I don't know whether it's fact or it's fiction, about a certain man, extremely wealthy, who had just one son. Just one son. Had several servants, but one choice servant. Now, the man, quite advanced in age, and then he died. Well, after the man had died, there was the reading of his will. And everybody was shocked. Because what this man did was that he willed everything he had to his choice servant. That chief servant of his. He willed everything to him. And everybody was wondering, why? How? What? People came with all kinds of conspiracy theories. Did we not tell you? Don't you see? That boy doesn't look like the man. He's not really the father. The man knew. He waited till this time to take out his pound of flesh. You know, all kinds of theories. Some other people said, oh, the man is mean. You know? He has this sense that he worked hard for his money. So he's not going to give this boy all the money and all the wealth. And decided to give somebody else. So his son could work hard for his own money. All kinds of theories that people began to postulate. And, but the funny thing is this. In that will, there was a sentence that said that that son of his could pick only one thing among the things he had. Well, the son heard it. He just laughed. He said, well, that is just like my father. He said, okay, he's got all this stuff. I can pick only one thing. Some people said, oh, pick the house in such and such a country. Some other ones, oh, pick that bank account in such and such a place. He said, well, my father owns everything, right? Including the servant. The servant owns everything. Well, I choose the servant. If I own the servant, then I can do whatever I want to do with the servant. I can boot him out if I like. And if he's under me, then everything he has is under me. Do you get the thought? When Adam bowed the knee to the devil, Satan became his master. Remember, Adam had dominion over all the works of God's hands. And then Satan had now become Adam's master. Satan fell heir to the dominion that was originally man's. In Luke 4, we see the account of Jesus' temptations. We read from verse 5 through to 8. The devil said to Jesus, showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He said, all this power, the Greek word is exousia, all these authorities delivered to me. Said unto whomsoever I will, I give it. Said to Jesus, if you fall down and worship me, all will be yours. Now, some people have said the devil was just lying when he said that. He was just being the liar that he is. Listen, yes, I know the devil is a liar, but you see, that wasn't a lie. It wasn't a lie. If it was a lie, Jesus would have known. Jesus would have said, no, you don't have it to give. That's a lie. But Jesus had to resist the temptation. Well, what's a temptation? Well, there's the hook and there's the bait. That's what makes a temptation. If there's no bait and it's just a hook, it's not a temptation, it's a hook. If there's a bait and no hook, then it's not a temptation, it's just a bait. So there was something the devil had to offer Jesus. He had it to offer. Someone said, how? I thought God owns everything. Yes, he sure does. You know, people have built spiritual air castles that God is running everything. You know, you hear folks sometimes say God is in control. Yes, he's in control of himself. He has quite a lot of self-control. But listen, he's not in control of the earth. The devil is the God of this world. Adam made it that way. Now, what did God give Adam? Ownership of his creation? No. What did he give him? Dominion over his creation. And that dominion, Adam turned over to the devil. And then Satan began his reign of tyranny over the human race. He brought sickness. He brought disease. He brought failure. He brought lack. He brought poverty. He brought retrogression. He brought everything evil, everything hurtful. All of those things were never a part of God's original creation. Amen. So man became separated from God. His spirit became alienated from God. And spiritual death is not just a separation from God alone. It's also inclusive of the fact that man became a child of Satan. In John 8:44, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, the strictest sect of the Jews, said to them, he said, ye of your father the devil, the works of your father shall ye do. It was a liar from the beginning, murderer from the beginning. When he tells a lie, he tells it of his own. He's a liar and the father of lies. So, Satan's nature is hatred, murder, and lies. Just like God's nature is love, life, and light. So that devil nature came in a man's spirit. You see, Adam called his grandson Enosh. Enosh means frail. It means death doomed. You see, because he had plunged the human race into darkness. He did. He did. But thank God that's not where the story ends. He was only the first Adam. There was a second Adam who happens to also be the last Adam. Amen. So when that happened, you see, originally man's spirit was a dominant force in his life, in creation. His spirit dominated him. But now his spirit was now dead, separated from God. So he had to begin to depend on his physical senses, on his body, on his soul, governed by the senses, trained in the senses for survival. Amen. Like I said, originally man was made to be God's companion. His spiritual faculties were attuned to the pitch of God's frequency. He could talk with God, walk with God, fellowship with God. But now his spirit is separated from God. So he has to begin to depend on his physical senses for survival on the earth. You see, sin yearns to make us walkers. Grace has come to make us trusters. Amen. Just to trust in what God has done for us. Like I said, Adam was just the first Adam. Now there's a story. You know, I've heard some people try to tell me that it's a parable. But to say it's a parable is to insult my intelligence. Luke chapter 16, from verse 19 through to 25. Jesus said something, said there was a certain rich man. Now you don't say certain when you're talking about parables. Certain means it was like this. It was this way and no other way. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple. Talking about, well, it was purple was royal. He was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. It says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that Lazarus died and was buried, and angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died, and he, being in hell, lifted up his eyes and saith Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Said Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and come and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. See, the guy was so used to sending Lazarus that even when he was in hell, he was trying to send him again. My God, poverty is evil. That he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and come and cool my tongue, I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, son, remember that thou during thy lifetime receivest the good things, Lazarus the evil things. Now he is comforted, thou art tormented. Besides this, there's a great gulf that's fixed between you and us, so that they that will come from thence, hence cannot, neither can they come from hence, thence. You see, that's a story that actually happened. And then the rich man remembered he had five brothers. And then he said, send someone to go and tell my five brothers so they won't come to this place of torment. Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets. He said, well, they may not listen to Moses and the prophets. Abraham told him, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen if one were raised from the dead. How true that is. Jesus was raised from the dead. They refused to listen to him. But you see, the point is this. Remember that. You notice that that man's physical body was buried, right? But yet the Bible says angels carried him, Lazarus. Now, him is not his body. And him is not his body. His body is not a part of him. His body was just the house him lived in. Amen. You see, the Bible says, Paul said in Philippians 1, 21 to 25, said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Said later there, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Said that which I will choose. Notice he said, I will depart. So there's the I. At physical death, man, who is his spirit, together with his soul, departs from his physical body. Now, that guy, he still had his emotions. He had affection for his brothers, the rich man. His memory was intact. Remember, his brothers were five. Amen. Those are a part of our soul. See, man is a spirit. The real man is a spirit. He's a spirit being. And his spirit, man, Adam's spirit, had God's life in it. But after he committed treason, he got separated from God. He became a subject as well as a child of Satan. And then he began to depend on his senses. But thank God Jesus came. The Bible says in John 10:10, that the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now in the Greek of the New Testament, there are at least four different words translated life. One of them is suche. Suche means natural or human life. Another is bios. Bios means manner of life. Another is anastrophe. Anastrophe means confused behavior. And this other Greek word, zoe. Zoe is life as God has it. Life in the absolute sense. You know, sometimes folks say things like, well, come and give your life to Christ. Yes, I understand what they mean. It's okay. But the truth is this, nobody ever gave his life to Christ. You are dead. We only come to receive the life of Christ. You see, the new birth is not us giving anything. We were paupers. We had nothing. We were impoverished. It's God who is the giver. We are the receivers. For God, John 3:16, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then you read in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. See, we preach the new birth in a way that makes it sound like it's a decision to stop sinning. You could stop sinning all you want to stop sinning. That's not what we're talking about. See, my dad used to smoke. He smoked for 11 years. I was told he was a living chimney. You know, used to use one to light the other. But then, something happened one time. Someone insulted him, at least so he perceived, over smoking. And he decided to stop smoking. Now, did that get him saved? No. He was a smoking sinner who became a non-smoking sinner. But still a sinner. You see, people don't go to hell because of what they do. They go to hell because of who they are. What they do is a function of who they are. Well, then someone wants to say, okay, does it mean, are you trying to say that if I just receive Jesus and then I keep doing the same thing, then I'm okay? Look, if it was Jesus you received and you actually received him, you can't keep doing the same thing. You can't keep doing the same thing. You see, the life of God, it changes conduct. It corrects habits. It forms new ones. Criminals become law-abiding citizens. Prostitutes become moral. Thieves become honest. Drunkards become sober. No case is incurable. That life changes a man. Changes him on the inside. Now, I realize that there are some people that have the life of God in them, but they don't know what they received. And because they don't know what they received, they can't take advantage of it. Now, some people know what they received, but they are not taking advantage of the life that is in them. That's why the Bible tells us, in Galatians chapter 5, if you read from verse 16 through to 25, the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, notice it's not fruits, it's one fruit that has nine different parts. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says, and against such there is no law. It says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, at the new birth, God's life is imparted into our spirits. God's nature is imparted into our hearts. Now, we still have the same body we had before. It will want to do the same stuff it used to do. If you used to smoke or you used to drink, your body may still want to do that. If you used to sleep around, your body may still want to do that. Does that mean you're not saved? If it means you're not saved, then nobody was ever saved. Because Paul's body too wanted to mess up. And that's why he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, someone asks that, what about carnal Christians? Will they go to heaven when they die? Can a carnal Christian be filled with the Holy Ghost? Someone asked me that once. You know what my response was? I just asked him, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, yes. I said, you got your answer. Paul seemed to think so, that carnal Christians could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. What's the way out of carnality? You outgrew it. As newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen. You see, man was made so that his spirit will be the dominant force in his life. And that's the key to the miraculous. That's the key to the supernatural. It's the spirit gaining ascendancy over the soul and over the body. That's why, like our text says, it says you walk by faith and not by sight. Not by sight. And when the Bible says not by sight, it's not just talking about the sense of sight. It's talking about the five physical senses. How do I know that? Remember John 20 from 24 through to 29. How Jesus showed up to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And Thomas had gone on perhaps a wool. He was away without official leave. I wonder where he went. Thomas the twin, Didymus, that's what it means, twin. And then the other disciples said to him, we've seen the Lord. He said, you folks, I'm not going to believe that. Except I see with my two eyes his palms, put my finger into the print of the nails, put my hands into his side, I will not believe. 8 days after Jesus shows up, said Thomas. Thomas replies, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, verse 29, but yet have believed. Now you notice that Thomas wasn't just referring to the sense of sight. He was talking about seeing as well as feeling. Except I shall see in his hands and put my hand into his palms and put my hands into his side. So he was going to feel. Now Jesus just summed it up and said, because you have seen. So when the Bible says you walk by faith, not by sight, is actually all inclusive. You walk by faith and not by our physical senses. As long as a believer is governed by his physical senses, he's going to live in the natural. You see, God wants us to walk in the supernatural. And the truth is, we can be naturally supernatural. And we can be supernaturally natural. We can live above the elements. You see, their fear doesn't have to be our fear. Their dread doesn't have to be our dread. Their problems don't have to be our problems. Amen. See, the Bible says when they say there's a casting down, we say there's a lifting up. Amen. You don't have to walk in sickness. You don't have to walk in disease. That's natural. It's natural for people to fall sick. It's natural for people to die young. It's natural for people to be failures. But it's not supernatural for us as believers to walk in that realm. That's not our realm. We are of another class. We are of the God class. We have the God life in us. Isaiah 53. The Bible says from verse 1 that who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. When we should see him, there's no beauty we should desire him. Says he's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs. That Hebrew word makob literally means sicknesses or diseases. And carried our sorrows. That Hebrew word koli literally means pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It says, and with his stripes we're healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone had turned on his own way. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10 says, it pleased God to bruise him. He had put him to grief. You see, he made him sick with our sicknesses. He made him diseased with our diseases. He laid our sin nature on him. So that's not our realm. The sickness realm is not our realm. The healing realm is our realm. The health realm is our realm. And that's part of walking in the supernatural. Living in the supernatural. Living in the supernatural. Living in the supernatural. I used to read, you know, a man by the name Kenneth E. Hagin. He'll say, well, the last headache he had was in August of 1933. And then I just think, my God, living on this same planet,
How? Is that even possible? But then I began to search in the Bible and I saw it is possible. It is possible. And it's part of the supernatural that we're meant to walk in. Men walk in health. Amen. One day came, I got done with disease. I got done with sickness. And I told myself I'm going to walk in health. Well, I haven't had a headache now in over 20 years. And I'll live and die without a headache. I haven't had malaria in over 20 years. I haven't had a tablet in over 20 years. Now, if you couldn't get healed any other way, but through medical help, for God's sake, and for crying out loud, go get it, and don't feel condemned about it. Are you listening to me? Proverbs, yes, I believe in divine healing. I believe in divine health. But it wasn't the devil that gave man that knowledge. God did. Proverbs 18:9. The Bible says, he that doesn't use his endeavors. In the Amplified Bible is what I'm quoting from, the last part of that verse. He that doesn't use his endeavors to heal himself is partner to him that commits suicide. Don't commit suicide. Are you listening to me? You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:29 that by faith the children of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea as of a dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. See, Israel, they faced the Red Sea. Moses cried to God, what do I do? God told him, stop crying to me. Go forward. Stretch forth your rod. Amen. That stuff will part. And that was what happened. He acted on God's word. Now, the Egyptians saw some people acting on God's word and acted on those people's actions. And guess what? They died. Committed suicide. Now, there are some Christians who do that today. Their faith is not necessarily in a persuasion of the word of God. Now, the truth is this, faith grows. Now, when you're faced with life-threatening illness like cancer, and the doctor says, well, you need to have surgery in another 3 months or else. You know, and you sometimes hear people, same person, never uses faith to get rid of a headache, never uses faith to get rid of a sprain. He now comes to the pastor and says, Pastor, I'm going to believe God. All things are possible. And it's not a confession of faith, it's a confession of fear. Not based out of a persuasion. Listen, faith grows. So I want to make sure people understand how I say some of those things. Because sometimes people can get the wrong impression. So I want to make sure I say it right. I say exactly what I mean. Faith does grow. Now, if I couldn't get healed any other way but by getting medical help, my God, I'm going to get it. And I'm going to get it in faith. Amen. Or maybe you're using your faith concerning a condition and it's taking a while. You just might want to get some help also. Are you listening to me? Yeah, we ought to have some sense in some of these things. Amen. You see, Jesus took away our sins, not our brains. Amen. We ought to have some sense in some of these areas. Faith grows. So I believe in a balanced message. Praise God. When we combine the natural with the supernatural, then we become an explosive force for God. Amen. But you see, there's divine healing. There's divine health. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them. And they are health, medicine to all their flesh. Now, medical science is smart enough to know that medicine is not only curative, there's also preventive medicine. Awesome strides that have been made in the area of preventive medicine. And listen to me, God's word is also preventive medicine. You know, sometimes people need to take their shots. You can take your word shots also. Amen. Exodus 15:26, it says there, if you hearken diligent to the voice of the Lord thy God, give ear to his commandments. Keep all his statutes, that which is right in his sight. He said, I will put, actually the Hebrew word is, I will permit none of these diseases to come upon you, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Now there's a certain translation, Smith Goodspeed. It says, for I, the Lord, make you immune to these diseases. Amen. You see, that's living in the supernatural. That's walking in the supernatural. It's God's will. If Jesus died for it, well, I'm going to enjoy it. I decided long ago, I won't get to heaven and meet some folks who say, well, in the redemptive package, there was this. They enjoyed it. And then I'm there and I say, wow, they enjoyed that. Wow, I didn't enjoy that. Why was that that way? No, 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 no. If it belongs to me, I'm going to find out about it. And I'm going to take advantage of it. Glory to God. Someone says, are you trying to say that if a Christian dies of sickness, he won't go to heaven? No, he'll go to heaven. He'll get there faster than the rest of us even. Amen. But I'm just saying that it's not God's best. God's will, God's highest, is that we live our days in His service without sickness, without disease, and at a good old age, we fall asleep in Jesus. You know, you don't have to get sick to die. You can just fall asleep. Amen. You can just, you know, God told Moses, said, Moses, go and die. And Moses went and he died. Amen. God said, Moses, go and die. Amen. You see, the Bible says these all died in faith. Yeah. Paul said, rather by life or by death, that Christ may be magnified in my body. Amen. You know, that fellow, Balaam, he said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my latter end be like his. Thank God there's the righteous way to die. Amen. Does it mean if you don't die that way, you're not God's child? No, it doesn't mean so. It just means you got robbed of a blessing. But you don't have to be. Amen. Now, when we talk about walking in the supernatural, it includes walking in health. When we talk about walking in the supernatural, it includes walking in the spirit. You see, sin does not have dominion over us. Romans 6:14 says, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. If the faith message, if the only thing it could do for me is bring health to my body and bring money to my pocket, and it couldn't help my conduct, then I don't want it. If the life of God couldn't do anything to my conduct, couldn't change my lifestyle, if all God could do was just forgive me of my sins and he couldn't do anything about my nature, oh, then redemption was a failure. Then it would mean that what the devil did in Adam was greater than what God did in Christ. And I don't mind telling you that's not so. That's not so. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. The new birth is the rebirth of the human spirit. It's God imparting his very life, his very nature, his very substance into man's being. And when that life comes into man, it changes him. Changes him. Amen. You see, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. That's who we are. See, God does not merely forgive the sinner's sins. The word atonement, in the King James Version of the Bible, you find it only once. And it was mistranslated there. Romans 5:11, where the Bible says, by whom we have now received the atonement. The word is remission, the reconciliation. Atonement is an old covenant word. See, there are three big words in the Bible. One is atonement. The other is remission. The third is forgiveness. In the old covenant, their sins were atoned for. They had a sin nature still that was atoned for. Every year, once in the year, the high priest will take two goats, cast lots, and then the lot scapegoat will be taken, killed, the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat after he had offered a sin offering for himself. And then that provided a covering for their sin nature as well as their sins for the next 1 year. The high priest was a surety in that sense of that covenant that they had, because if he fumbled, then Israel was in trouble for the next year. Amen. The consciousness of sin could not be removed. But thank God in the new covenant, our past was remitted, was remitted, was remitted, was remitted. In Isaiah 43:25, God said, I, me that blotted out thy transgressions and will not remember thine iniquities. In Micah 7:19, he said, I will cast their sins into the depths of the sea, into the rivers of forgetfulness. In Hebrews 8:12, he said, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I will remember no more. He doesn't remember them. Doesn't want you reminding him of them either. Doesn't want you reminding you of them. Amen. One day I got to read in my Bible, 2 Corinthians 7:2. Read where Paul said, I wronged no man. I defrauded no man. I said, no, that can't be true. Who was he talking about? This fellow consented to the death of Stephen. The folks that stoned Stephen, he was the one that held their clothes. I bet he was cheering them on. No, his head. He did well. He did well. Break that skull. Yeah. He consented to the death of Stephen. He persecuted the church of God. He excelled above many his equals. He was unparalleled. He had letters to bind them that are of that way. And yet he comes to say, I wronged no man. I defrauded no man. So I went on that day, saying, no, this can't be true. I won't forget it long as they are live. On the inside of me, the Holy Ghost said, shut up, young man. The fellow you are talking about died on the road to Damascus. Listen to me. I don't care if you are the worst wretch in town. You are whatever you are. You are not who you were. You are a new man. You're a new man. You're a new man. You're a new creature. Your past is remitted. Is remitted. There's another man now. Yes, you may be living in the same house, but there's a new occupant. There's a new occupant. That man has passed away. He kicked the bucket. He died. There's another man now. And that new man has God's nature. That new man has God's life. That new man is the righteousness of God. He's the righteousness of God. Listen to me. You stand in God's presence without a consciousness of sin, of guilt, or inferiority. That's what righteousness is. Nobody has a better standing before God than you do. Not even Jesus. Not even Jesus. You couldn't be closer to God than you are now, even if you were Jesus. Now, I know there's a vital side of us. The Bible says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. But in another sense, legally, the Bible says we'll be made nigh by the blood of Christ. You couldn't get nearer than that. Are you listening to me? So we are the righteousness of God. If only these truths will feed on them. Think about them, meditate on them, build them into our spirits. My God, it'll rid us of that inferiority complex, of that sin consciousness. Amen. You see, we stand in God's presence and fellowship with him on terms of equality. Are you listening to me? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is proof positive that our sins have been remitted. Romans 4:25 says he was delivered on account of our offenses, and he was raised up when we were declared righteous. You see, he paid the price in full. In redemption, God was just to himself. He was just to the devil. He was just to his word. He was just to man. You see, God did not, you know, folks sometimes paint this impression, God just wrote off our sins. You know, it's like, let's say you're owing someone $1 million. Invested it in business, and the business didn't go quite right. And then you're now in a debt of $1 million. And then the fellow you're owing just calls you to a meeting. I mean, you probably in the natural will be scared stiff. You get there, your knees almost buckling. You can hardly look him in the face. And he says, you know what, I'm going to write off that debt. Well, you're so grateful for what he did. But the truth is this, you and him, you will never be equals. He will always be your benefactor. You will always, let's say you were walking in the same place, and then you were to say, well, what do you think about so and so? Before you say what you think, you first want to know what he wants you to say, what he thinks. Because he's your benefactor. You don't want him to pull that thing up one day. That's not what God did in redemption. See, man goofed. We messed up. We couldn't pay the price. Then the second person of the Godhead decided to take upon himself a physical body. And then he passed all the tests that the first Adam failed. And then the time came when on that cross our sin nature was laid upon him, as well as our sins. He died, went to the prison house of suffering, the region of the damned. And then he paid the price. He suffered in our stead until he paid it in full. God looked over the banisters of heaven and said, it's enough. See, Jesus did not die as a martyr. He died as our substitute. His death was my death. His burial was my burial. His crucifixion was your crucifixion. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, we are identified with him. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he suffered, we suffered. When he was declared righteous, it was because our sins, our debt had been paid. See, God looked at what Adam did. He looked at what Jesus did. And then he weighed them together and said, yeah, he served it. This is fair deal. He's more than served the sentence. See, remember, that's deity suffering. 1 hour of deity suffering is worth more than an eternity of humanity suffering. In those 3 days and nights, he satisfied the claims of justice. He met the demands of the law. He did it in our stead. Did it for me. Did it for you. And that's why we have God's life in us today. That's why we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that God might be just. Romans 3:26. And the righteousness, the justifier of them that have faith in Jesus. He's our righteousness. He's our righteousness. That's part of the supernatural life. See, you see some folks, they live in guilt. They live in condemnation. They're so shy. They don't have self-confidence. You know, they feel like, well, you know, I was born. You might have been born with a golden spoon. You know, some of them say they were born with a wooden spoon. And some say they weren't even born with any spoon. The spoons had finished by the time they got born. Listen, I don't care what spoon you were born with. That's why you got born again. Amen. Amen. And when you got born again, you got born again into God's family. Amen. You became the righteousness of God. God's life was imparted into your spirit. God's nature was imparted into your heart. You're not who you used to be. You're not who you used to be. You're another man. Listen, you are God's Superman. You are God's Superman. You are God's Superman. You are God's Superman. You have a new nature. You are not made for defeat. You are not made for failure. The flesh is not made to dominate you. See Romans 8 from verse 1. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, verse 11, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, our Father. Verse 16 says, the Spirit is bear witness with our spirits that we're the children of God. You're a child of God. You're a heir of God. Amen. You are not in the flesh anymore. Now you're in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you. You see, God condemned sin in the flesh. Look it up in the Amplified Bible. It says, Romans 8:4, he condemned, subdued, overcame, and deprived sin of its power over all those who accept the sacrifice of his Son. I tell myself all the time, if this faith message can't change our conduct, then it is a failure. If all that God did in redemption was to rid us of condemnation, and then you go sin some more, and then he forgives you again, and then you go sin some more, and then he keeps getting rid of the condemnation, but he can't produce the right conduct. I don't want that kind of a gospel. There's no power there. That's not a supernatural life. You smoke like they smoke, you drink like they drink, you sleep around like they sleep around, then what's the difference between us? Listen, you are not like them. Now, I don't mean that to look down on someone else, but I mean that to say this, you have the life of God in you. That life, if you let it loose in you, if you learn to walk in the light of it, listen, it'll change your conduct. It'll change your conduct. See, many times you see Christians struggling with this habit, struggling with that habit, struggling with this flesh problem, struggling with that flesh problem. You don't need a struggle. You've got the life of God in you. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have the righteousness of God. You are not a natural man. What whips the flesh? I'll tell you what does. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you see, he defined the world as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, isn't it? Now go over to chapter 5, 1 John 5, verse 4. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So you could put it like this. This is the victory that overcomes the lust of the flesh, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the lust of the eyes, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the pride of life, even our faith. See, faith is not a gimme gimmick. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not a magic wand. Faith is a lifestyle. It's something you embrace, and it changes the way you live. And it's not a put-on from the outside. Anybody can put on stuff from the outside. No, it's a product of a new life on the inside. Do we have the flesh to contend with? Yes, we do. Do we have the natural mind to renew? Yes, we do. But you know, we can do that. Part of the supernatural. So when I say God wants us to walk in the supernatural, I mean he wants us to walk in health. He wants us to walk in live a spiritual life. A life of victory over the flesh. Victory over the world. Victory over the devil. A life where the love of God. You see, Galatians 5, 6. The Bible says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Look that up in the Knox translation. It says, faith which is expressed through love. A faith life that affects your community. A faith life that produces a love walk. A faith life that affects your conduct. That affects the way you relate. Amen. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's get rid of that selfishness stuff. Just me and my bunch. No. There's a world out there that's lost and that's dying. And God wants us to reach them. And your life might just be the only gospel some of them will ever hear. So, walking in the supernatural includes walking in health, includes walking in victory over the flesh, living a spiritual life. And you know, a fellow can be carnal in more ways than one. You know, when you mention the word carnal, carnal Christians, the first thing that comes to their mind is immorality. And maybe I just defined someone. I know nobody here thinks that way. But I know I'm in streamed life, so maybe someone who's streaming might think that way. No, carnality is just being flesh ruled. God says you're righteous, you say you're unworthy. You're flesh ruled. God says you're a victor, you say no, you can't. The circumstances say I'm defeated. You're being ruled by your physical senses. The word flesh is S-A-R-X, sarx, and it means senses. We shouldn't be ruled by our senses. That's not the supernatural life. The supernatural life is when we live from the inside out. A spiritual life. A healthy life. As well as a prosperous life. Now, it's to be regretted that the prosperity message has been pushed to extremes. People have turned the gospel into a merchandising, money merchandising thing. Fleecing God's sheep. You know, it should be regretted. But you know, we don't throw the baby away with the dirty bathwater. Because some folks got on an extreme on this side, doesn't mean we should get on the extreme on that side. God's will is that we stay in the middle of the road. Yes, the love of money is still the root of all evil. Yes, covetousness is still idolatry. Yes, God doesn't want money to have us, but listen, he wants us to have money. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having always all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. Amen. Now let me just say something. You know, it's funny that when it comes to the new birth, we tell people you can't earn it. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, the gift of God, not a work said man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. When it comes to healing, we tell people it's what Jesus did, by whose stripes you were healed. But when it comes to prosperity, we tell them it's what they do. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a law of sowing and reaping. Yes. Do I believe it's scriptural to tithe? I do. Abraham tithed in faith. I believe in following his example. Amen. Not as a slavish duty or a legalistic requirement, but I tithe in faith, in following in the steps of Abraham. Are you listening to me? Yes, there are things we do, but listen, the basis of our prosperity is not our tithe, neither is it our giving. The basis of our prosperity is the finished work of redemption. Are you listening to me? Yes, God will bless the work of our hands. Don't get me wrong. You know, Paul said, he that does not work should not eat. I saw one sticker, you know, on a card that said, no food for lazy man. Felt like telling that guy, yeah, you're quoting scripture. Very scriptural. More scriptural than you think. So I'm not saying we should be lazy. I'm not saying that. But this is what I'm saying. We have a covenant. You see, believers, you see us trying to get even. Trying to get ahead. Trying to clear this debt and clear that debt. Yes, should we be wise in the way we spend money? We should. But there's an underlying thing we need to get. Is the fact that there's something called the blessing. And if you're born again, it's on you. It's on you. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Read from verse 15 to 68. You'll discover that poverty is a curse. It's a curse. It's a curse. There's nothing good about it. Nothing good about not being able to feed because you don't have the money. Nothing good about you out in the cold because you can't have a shelter. Nothing good about you can't pay fees for your kids. Nothing good about it. Nothing good about you're so neck deep in debt, you don't know how to get out. Nothing good about that. Now, do I believe it's a sin to borrow? I don't. Some folks say, well, it's a sin to borrow. Then, if that's the case, then Jesus sinned. He borrowed Peter's boat. He did. Someone said, no, he paid him for it. After he used the boat, he gave him a huge catch of fish. But you see, he used it before he paid him. So he used it on credit. If you want to consider that as some payment. Are you listening to me? You know, the Bible says we will lend to many nations. We won't borrow. Now, that's not a commandment. It's a blessing. He's saying that we'll be so rich that we won't need to. He's not saying it's a sin if we do. Now, if it is a sin for us to borrow, then the nations you are lending to, you are aiding and abetting their sinning. Because they are sinning by borrowing according to that theory. Are you listening? You know, Elisha said to that widow woman, borrow vessels, not a few. Pour the oil in it. She borrowed. You know, the working of miracles was an oppression and the oil multiplied and it was an instruction by the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? So, am I saying don't borrow? I'm not saying that. Now I know there are some folks that God might deal with them personally. And the Bible says, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. If your right eye offend you, pluck it out. So there are some folks who they just have to do stuff that's seemingly that extreme, but it's an instruction to them. We can't make a doctrine out of it. Are you listening to me? If you want to use credit, use it, but use it wisely. If you need to, if you have to. Are you listening? But my point is this. Prosperity is God's will. God wants us to get ahead financially. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? Says the same measure you mete out, measure to you again. See, God wants us to prosper. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Psalm 84 verse 11. The Lord is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Isaiah 119. If he be willing and obedient, he shall eat the good of the land. Job 36:11. If they'll obey and serve him, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Psalm 34 verse 10. Young lions do lack and suffer need, but those who seek the Lord shall want no good thing. Someone said, God only said he'll meet our needs, not our wants. I heard that one day and I said, oh, if only that guy will learn how to read. See, God wants to meet our needs. He wants to meet our wants. Amen. Now, is it going to happen overnight? No. But you know what? As we apply the word of God, act on the word of God, practice the principles of the word of God, you're going to get ahead financially. That's God's word. And that's part of the supernatural life. That's part of the supernatural life. A spiritual life. A healthy life. A prosperous life. Jesus died so that we can have that kind of a life. And that's God's will for us. Remember, I'm on the first point. I don't have to get through all the points today. You know, blessed that the short winded, they just might be invited some other time. The long-winded, I'm not sure about them. Amen. So it's just good wisdom not to take too much time. Amen. Besides, yes, I know it's the everlasting gospel, but we don't have to preach it in an everlasting way. If you don't go back, then you can't come again. If you don't go, you can't come back again. So, but if it's only that point I can underscore today, I think it's good. It's the will of God our Father that we live a supernatural life. That it becomes our lifestyle. A life that is spiritual. A life that is healthy. A life that is prosperous. That's God's will. Above the natural. Above the natural. We're redeemed from spiritual death. We're redeemed from sickness and disease. And we're redeemed from poverty. Amen. You see, we've kind of seen faith as what we use for health. And then after a while, we saw that, yes, it works for getting our needs met, prosperity. But we kind of felt like, you see, when it comes to that flesh issue, we just have to struggle. No, faith works the same in all realms. It's by faith that we live a victorious life as Christians. And it's part of what Jesus died to make possible. Praise God. So that's my first point. That's my first point. I'll just hint at the second. I'll probably get into it in detail tomorrow. Now, the second is this. The doorway into that supernatural realm is faith in God's word. That's the doorway. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. You see, it's our faith that appropriates his grace. Now, sometimes we have this idea that if my faith will just be strong enough, it will cause God to bless me. Listen, regardless of how strong or weak your faith is, God has blessed you. Your faith is not what's going to make God bless you. Redemption made God bless you. God, in his grace, has already blessed us. However, our faith is what we use to appropriate the blessings. It's our faith we use to receive what his grace has provided. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Romans 4:16. It is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Through faith. It's to be regretted that sometimes faith is presented like a formula. It's not a formula. It's a lifestyle. We have to emphasize the finished work of redemption. What God did for us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And preach a balanced message.
Now, on one hand, there are folks who try to make faith out to be a formula, a get-rich-quick scheme. On the other hand, there are some folks who try to make it all look like, look, it's all God's grace. It's all God's grace. Yes, it's all God's grace, and God's grace is huge. But listen, God's grace doesn't work by itself. We have to appropriate it. And how do we appropriate it? With our faith. With our faith. The basis of the faith message is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to put that. Jesus must be the center of it all. Because the Bible is about Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So you see, the door into that supernatural is our faith. It's our faith. What's the fight we're to fight? 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. What's the victory that overcomes the world? 1 John 5:4. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. How do we please God? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How do we get our prayers answered? Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. James 1:5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally to all men and upbraids not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not such a man think he shall receive anything, wisdom or anything else, for the matter. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So it's by faith we get our prayers answered. Now, not every prayer is a prayer of faith. There are different kinds of prayer. But every prayer should be prayed in faith. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith to resist the devil. James 4:7. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. How? 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren than in the world. The American Standard Version says, whom resist steadfast in your faith. So it's by faith we resist the devil. It's by faith we please God. It's by faith that we lead the Christian life. It's by faith that we get our prayers answered. The only fight where the fight is a good fight of faith. In fact, Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you're either walking in faith or you're walking in sin. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Paul said, not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. By faith ye stand. So it's by faith that we stand. Amen. Paul told Timothy, a young minister, he said, follow after faith. Amen. Be an example of a believer in faith. 2 Timothy 2:22. 1 Timothy 4:12. 1 Timothy 6:11. Amen. See, God is strong about faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith is not a movement. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Paul said, but what seeth it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Remember, the same Paul said, if someone should come and preach to you another gospel, different from the one we have preached, let him be accursed. What gospel did Paul preach? He called it the word of faith. Now, don't get me wrong. We ought to be. God wants us to be balanced believers. Faith is not the only subject in the Bible. There are other subjects in the Bible besides faith. Paul said in Acts 20:27, he had in shone to declare to them all the counsel of God. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, all of it, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So we need all of it. But listen, you see, this faith business, God is strong about it. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith to appropriate His blessings. It takes faith to enjoy your rights of redemption. It takes faith to advance the cause of Christ. Hebrews 11, men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, quenched the violence of fire, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Amen. So it takes faith to do exploits for God. Do you know you can take this city for Jesus? Do you know you can impact your world for Jesus? And how are we going to do it? By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Faith is not an afterthought. Amen. Faith is mainline. It's foundational. It's fundamental. One of the basics of the doctrine of Christ. Faith toward God. Someone says, well, you know, we've left the ABCs now. We've gone on to bigger things. Well, what are the bigger things? Paul said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So you go from faith to faith. So you never stop going into faith. That's our lifestyle. That's our lifestyle. You see, there is the present truth. The age we are in now is the church age. And in this age, God has ordained that the way the just is to live is by faith. The dispensation we're in now is the grace dispensation. And in this dispensation, the way we experience that grace is by faith. So there's no substitute for it. Amen. That's the door into the supernatural. As I begin to round off, now 3 points I said, I'm not saying the third. And I just mentioned the second. Probably get into more details on it later on. But this is what I'll say as we begin to close out tonight. Paul said something. He said to the Galatian church, he that ministers to you the Spirit, Galatians 3:5, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. See, there is something about the hearing of faith that enables us to flow in the supernatural. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20, he said, the kingdom of God is not in word, mere words, empty words. He said, but it's in power. You see, faith will always cause the power of God to be released. You know why? First, because God's word is anointed. And by acting on the anointed word of God, you'll get results. The other thing is this. See, there is such a thing as manifestations of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12. Paul said from verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. The word gifts is in italics. So it's actually now concerning spirituals. Things of and pertaining to the Holy Ghost. I will not have you ignorant. Says ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Diversities of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings, both are plural in the Greek, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another descending of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. See, the Holy Ghost also manifests himself in what we call gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Yes, we should first be people of the Word. But don't just be a person of the Word alone. Also be a person of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Someone put it like this. Said, just the Word and you might dry up. Just the Spirit and you might blow up. But with the Word and the Spirit, you get to grow up. Amen. So, something about the hearing of faith, something about the message of God's word, it gives opportunity for the Spirit of God to manifest himself. Amen. And there's just something about that kind of atmosphere where we are open to the moving of the Spirit. See, there is a realm of the supernatural. There is a realm of the miraculous. In Mark 16 verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Said, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Says, after he had spoken these words unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. See, God always will confirm his word. God always will back up his word. Now, can we turn on gifts of the Spirit at will or turn them off at will? No, we can't. But this is it. If we will be faithful to preach the word, to present the message, prepare ourselves in prayer, amen, stay open to the Holy Ghost. You see, the preaching of faith produces an atmosphere where the Spirit of God can move. Be up on your feet, somebody, amen. Praise God.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.